Hey folks, welcome to Movies, Music and Madness. This week we are travelling back to the year 1971. It's been a while since we've done one of these year shows. So it's probably about time we went back and kind of plugged some of the gaps of the years that we kind of missed out first time around. And for some reason, 71 passed us by. What did you think of 71, guys? Did you find some good stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
Yeah. Lots to choose from. And movies. Yeah, both. Yeah.
Good music. Yeah, cool. We're going to start with the music, because that's what we do. That's what's first in the title, you know, music, movies, and maps. So, yeah, we'll go with music first. What I noticed, especially with 71, is the number of live albums and, like, amazing live albums. It was just seemed like everyone was playing gigs at the time and recording an album. And I was very close to choosing one particular live album, but I've gone with another one tonight. And they were actually, the two gigs were actually recorded about a quarter of a mile apart and within the space of a week apart as well. Let's start with Glenn. Do you want to kick us off tonight with your album?
Sure. I mean, it was very difficult to choose and not difficult all at the same time. Predictably, I've gone with Pink Floyd's Beatle.
See, I thought you were going to go with Tumbleweed. I honestly thought you'd go with Tumbleweed.
I do love Tumbleweed Connection. I thought it was 1970, but no.
That's where you were, I think.
I mean, it is difficult. However, screw it. I went with my favourite band. Yeah. Yep, I definitely went with my favourite. Why not?
Fair enough.
Might as well have a
go. Why not? You only get one shot at doing a medal, right? Because it's not going to come up in like a themed week, really, is it?
Not really. No, it's not. And it is one of my favourites of theirs. It's in my top five. It's basically when the band were kind of starting to migrate away from. They were starting to find their voice and really find what they were all about. They were working well together. There was a combined awesomeness about what they were trying to achieve artistically and also from musical side of things. The Pink Floyd sound was becoming very clear now. That sort of became Into Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here and Onwards. And Roger Waters started writing about people as opposed to sci-fi type stuff. It was a change for them in terms of those elements. So I'm going to play a couple of tracks, well, not all of them, but just some excerpts, because certainly metal was famous for one whole side of a record being one track, which is called Echoes, and it's 23 minutes of awesomeness, but I'll be only playing a little snippet of that because I actually previewed last week on the show a bit of metal, which is Echoes, but it was done by Rodrigo and Gabriella. Okay, so anyway, here's a song called Fearless. Now, have you guys heard Fearless before?
Probably.
I don't think so.
Can't remember it, but probably.
It is, looking at Spotify, it is the most popular track on the album. It's 60 million listens, so I thought that was pretty cool. It surprised me. I thought it might be something else, but no, it's this one. So let's have a listen to this.
Smiling, my sin rests, the magistrate turns round. And every day is the right day.
There we go. It's Fearless. Tried to play that sort of that riff, that dun da dun da dun dun da, and I can't master it. Tried it, haven't been able to master that one. I don't know what it is. It just seems a bit tricky. I think it's the chords in it are a bit weird. And Echoes, I'll play a little snippet of Echoes because it does go for 23 minutes and 32 seconds. Live, it kind of went out even longer. Upwards of close to almost half an hour, which is quite epic.
Oh, nice.
I know. And it's one of those tracks that you just get completely and utterly lost in, which makes it so, so good. But I'm just going to play one of my favorite lines from the song. And it really just sort of amplifies sort of where Pink Floyd were going. So here's one of the favorite sort of verses here.
Strangers passing in the street. By chance, two separate classes meet. I am you, and what I see is me. Do I take you by the hand and lead you through the land and help me understand the best I can?
Going a bit of the old Phantom of the Opera there that old Lloyd Webber ripped off in the end. But just that line, strangers passing in the street, by chance two separate glances meet, and I am you and what I see is me. Oh, Roger's starting to hit it. He's starting to absolutely get gold here. You know what I mean? I am you and what I see is me. So that the us and them, there is no us and them. It's just us. We may, we're all human, and that's what makes it so cool. So, yeah, I love that line. I just think it's absolutely fabulous.
Mm. So, hey, yeah. I've got a question about metal. What the hell is the album cover of?
It's an ear underwater. It is not one of the better covers. In fact, it didn't go down particularly well with the band in the end. In fact, when it came around to doing Dark Side of the Moon, Rick Wright and the others said, I don't want to see Storm one of your shit photos or shit pictures. We want something classy and sharp and an image maybe, or maybe even a sharp drawing, not some shitty photo. And there we go. So, yeah, and that's right. 71 was also important because Pink Floyd, at the end of that year, started writing Dark Side of the Moon too. So, yeah, pretty massive year for my favourite band.
Mm.
Yeah, awesome. And that's why I chose metal.
I only found out recently that the cover of, is it Saucer Full of Secrets, has Dr. Mm-hmm. Strange on it.
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Dr. Strange is hidden in there.
Yes.
I know, it was actually like a panel from one of the comic books. It's just all that stuff there.
Yeah, Roger was, I think he may be, but he certainly was at the time a big comic fan. So he used a lot of comic. Doctor Strange appears in a couple of Pink Floyd songs, I think. Doctor Strange is always running out of time, I think it is. Yeah, anyway, it's really silly, but good fun.
It just reminds me of when we got that chance to listen to Dark Side on Dolby Atmos.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what metal would sound like on that. Pretty epic in that.
Oh.
Environment, you know.
Oh yes. Oh,
have they done a surround mix of it?
Can it be done?
Hard to say. It was recorded pretty well. John Leckie was involved in it. He went on to do his stuff with Radiohead. It wasn't at Abbey Road. It was at a different studio, so I'm not 100% sure. I think there was a quad mix of it, so potentially.
That would sound wicked.
I agree, it would.
All right, thanks for that, Glenn. Anyway, let's move on. Ian, what are you bringing to us from 1971 tonight?
The album I chose has got this song in it. I know. It's epic. It's Led Zeppelin 4 is the album I went for. And I suppose I chose it because it was a toss-up between that and Yes. I quite like the Yes album that came out. But I think Led Zeppelin 4 is it's just like one of those sort of timeless rock albums, you know. It's good, man. All the songs on it are really good. It's a big sounding album. I think if you're not really into Led Zeppelin much, this is probably a nice album to have of theirs to put in your collection. There's a bit of a mixture of stuff on there. This, you know, some of the bigger songs. Stairway to Heaven's on this one, which is not one of my favorite Zeppelin songs, but it's a cracking tune. Black Dog's on there. Rock and Roll's on there. And I just love it. I was reading a bit on Wikipedia as well on the making of the album, which is really interesting. This is where they went to this Headley Grange in Hampshire and sort of hired this house and has that iconic song where they did the drum track in. Oh, that might have been the song where they did the drums in the hallway and to create that sound. Yeah, again, probably like Floyd. You know, I think the band was kind of experimenting, but finding their feet and their sound. You know, they were really coming together. And if I give you a little snippet of this song, I've kind of come in at halfway through all these songs because they've got ripping intros, but I quite like them halfway through, you know.
Yeah.
But this is just a wonderful tune. Enjoy this. Ah, there you go, Black Dog.
Funny story about
waiting
that
for their drums to come in.
When I was about 16, and
yeah.
I started drumming, and I think I'd been drumming about 2 weeks, and had a jam with like some mates, and they said, "Oh, can you do the intro for Rock and Roll?" And the answer was the emphatic no.
You're like, I fucking quit this
one,
band.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, yeah. Funny, man.
Was it Zeppelin at the peak of their power?
Well, Bonzo was, definitely. He was just firing all cylinders on that album. It's amazing, the drum sound on there. I don't know. It's not my favourite of those four albums. I think 2 is my favorite, maybe 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 3 is good.
I do like 3. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, when I read on Wikipedia, it says it received a lukewarm response. But, I mean, God, you got to remember, in 1971, man.
Yeah. But, you know, the fans loved it and they bought thousands, you know, it made them superstars. The critics always hated Zeppelin and... let's be honest, I think the critics were wrong. takes.
Agreed. Yeah, they were hated in certain circles, I think, but I don't know how old they were when they wrote this album. But looking at the cover, they must have been reasonably young. I think maybe early 20s, you know, mid 20s. And to write those kind of tunes at that age, man, I just have nothing but admiration. This is the final song I chose, which is, again, it shows you the sign of, there's a bit of diversity on the album. It's a beautiful tune, this one. I'll tell you a little story after this.
Spend my days with a woman and kind, smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind, make a new start, going to California with an aching in my heart. Someone told me there's a girl out there with love in her eyes and flowers in her hair.
And how beautiful is that, you know, from going from Black Dog to something like that? It's just beautiful. It shows their, like Floyd, it shows their sort of talent. They're really on it as a band. That song features Sandy Denny, who was the singer from the Airport Convention, which I didn't know. I know who she was, but I didn't realize it was her voice that was on it. But, not that song. She features on the album on a different song. But, yeah, there's some nice artists on there. Well engineered, good album. Led Zeppelin 4, I'd say a must for a record collection.
Nice.
Nice one.
Thank you for that. Good bit of Zeppelin. Always up for Zeppelin. All right, I think I'm going to go next. So, as I said at the start of the show, I was kind of tossing up between two live albums. One of them, well, both of them were recorded in San Francisco. One was recorded at the Fillmore East, and the other one was recorded at the Fillmore West. And the Fillmore East one was by the Allman Brothers Band, which I love. I think it's an amazing live album. And just like the ultimate jam band. I'm sure I've waxed lyrical about that before. But the other one I don't think I have mentioned before, but it's an astounding live album. And it was by Aretha Franklin. But as I say, both of these albums were recorded about a week apart, which just goes to show, like, 71 was a good year to be in San Francisco, obviously. It's quite an interesting set that she played, and it was mainly because the promoter kind of pushed her and said, hey, play some of those old hippie songs because we're expecting like a big hippie crowd in tonight. So she did, actually it was two nights that she played, but this I think is a... The original album, I think, was from the first night. So there's some really interesting songs on there. There's things like Make It With You, you know, is it Bread? And there's a Stephen Stills song on there. And there's a Diana Ross one. And then she pulled out the Simon and Garfunkel as well and did a pretty sterling version of Bridge Over Troubled Water. So I'm going to play a little bit of that. Billy Preston on the Hammond organ here as well, which is just sublime.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you didn't know, that's actually Aretha on the electric piano there as well on the Fender Rhodes. So.
Oh,
she can play. She can really play. She does some amazing stuff on this album. So yeah, that's my first one. Is Bridge Over Troubled Water. The next one's a cover as well. What I love about this is it's just a really different take on the song, and she changes it ever so slightly in terms of lyrics as well. So you might recognise this one. Yeah, a very different take on Eleanor Rigby there. I love the fact that she changed lyrics to "I'm Eleanor Rigby." That tells it from first person. I mean, that's a genius move. So that was my second one. And my third one I've got for you is actually, I think it's one of hers. I don't know it particularly well, but it's called "Don't Play That Song." But it's just got a really cool groove to it. And like the crowd get into it pretty quick.
Come on, help me sing this. Don't play that song for me.
Good old R&B groove, right? I mean, she can't knock that. Yeah, I think it's a great album. I only discovered it probably like last year, and it's literally called Live at Fillmore West. But there's a special edition. Well, there's actually been like heaps of special editions of it. And it's one of those albums that's kind of grown over time, and it went from being a single album to a double album to a quadruple album to, you know. So somewhere out there is like the full gig now, I think. But the version I've got is like the 2-disc one. Which is 2 different sets, and I actually quite like that on a live album, to hear like 2 consecutive nights, because you hear the variations. Although a lot of the songs are the same, just getting those different variations on the songs is really cool. Yeah, so that's my choice, Aretha, Live at Fillmore West. How about you, Dave? What do you got for us tonight?
Nice. Yeah, I've kept things pretty middle of the road as well, I guess you could say. I've gone for Every Picture Tells a Story by Rockin' Rod.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his third studio album.
Yes.
Recorded between November 70 and January 71. I never listened to this album until the weekend. Obviously know a few tracks on it, but was out with a few mates on Saturday night around town, and before they arrived, I was listening to this on my iPod, and I was like, this is pretty good. Pretty good stuff. And very folky, very bluesy, bit of rock in there, but really showcases his diverse sort of, and his ability to write just really good pop songs. He I mean, it was someone said earlier in the show that, you know, the critics, what do they know? And this is definitely one of those situations where the critics kind of caught it boring, and, you know, half the song, there's only 8 songs in there, half the songs are, you know, put you to sleep. But time has shown that it's one of the greatest albums of the period, and it's gone down as a classic. So I'm going to play one of my favorite tunes, given that I've only been listening to it since the weekend. let me just chuck this on here for you guys. You might know it. I've kind of vaguely heard it. It's called Find a Reason to Believe. It's the last track on the album.
Good song.
It's good a song. Nice little tune. See if you remember this.
If I listen long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe that it's all true. Knowing that you lied straight-faced while I cried, still I look to find a reason to believe. Someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else. Someone like you makes it easy to give.
Yeah, so that's Find a Reason to Believe. It was released as the A-side to Maggie May, which of course went on to become one of his signature songs. But of course, Maggie May sort of outshone it. But it doesn't take anything away from that song. It's a really cool little tune. And just watching the YouTube clips on it live, obviously it's one of those songs that is anthemic at his concert, and it gets all the oldies up out of their Zimmer frames singing the tune, singing the hook. So that was pretty
cool. That's the funny thing, isn't it? Because, like, you know, it's 1971. He's probably in, like, his, early 30s, and he's still bringing all the oldies to his kids even back then.
He's always been sort of more mature, hasn't he, Rod? It's kind of, he's just born old.
What a voice.
He's got Ronnie Wood on this album from the Stones. He has pretty much all the small faces played on this, which is pretty cool. So it's stacked with talent. Second song I'm going to play, Mandolin Wind, because we all need a bit of mandolin in our lives, so I like this tune a lot. Don't think it was ever released. Kind of like bread. Sounds a bit breadish.
I love bread.
Geez, he's smooth, isn't he? Smooth like a well-aged whiskey.
Doesn't sound that rocking. Sounds pretty mellow.
Oh, it's very mellow. Yeah. I don't know. They say blues, folk, and hard rock, but there's not a lot of hard rock on this album. So, yeah, I don't know what they're smoking. Got to play a bit of Maggie May.
Sun when it
face really shows your age. But that don't worry me none, in my eyes you're everything. I laughed at all of your jokes, my love you didn't need to coax. Oh Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore.
Anyway, that was my pick, Every Picture Tells a Story by Rod Stewart. Basic facts about the album, fellas. Ron Wood was on there, Mickey Waller on drums, Pete Sears on keys. Yeah, stacked with talent. Reasons to Believe was a good tune that did very well. Obviously, Maggie May's gone on. And yeah, definitely, like, it's definitely a Sunday morning album, guys. It's one of those ones you chuck on. It's just a chill album, a good Sunday morning, cup of coffee, you know, whatever you do, and just chuck on that record, and it pays dividends, definitely.
Totally. All right, well, we're just about there for this half, guys, but thank you for that. Just to play us out tonight, James Brown had 5 albums out in 1971.
Oh,
what really? Was he on?
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, my favorite one that I've discovered is the album containing the original hit single, Hot Pants. So I'm going to play us out with a bit of Hot Pants. She Got to Use What She Got to Get What She Wants by James Brown. So here we go, guys.
Hot Pants. Huh. Oh, that where is that? That where is that? Hot Pants. Smoking. Hot Pants. Smoking. Take it down that boat. But Valentine, my feet keep going. Girl, blowing my mind. Think of losing that foggy feeling, don't. You got to use what you got to get just what you want. Hot pants, smoking.